This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, as always, and this is episode number 130. So we are joined for the third time by Kevin Thompson of Open Look Media. Kevin joined us in earlier episodes, number 124 and 127, talking about his journey, his knowledge of media and publishing, and his journey with Open Look, which is effectively a specialized vertical outsourcing service provider. So really interesting. Today we talk a little bit about the future of outsourcing, the future of content and publishing, and we get some really interesting insights there. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. If you want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/130. That's 130. And of course, I hope you enjoy. Welcome back, everybody. Today, again, I'm joined by Kevin Thompson of Open Look. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Derek. Thanks for having me again.
Absolute pleasure. And I really enjoyed talking to you. And today I just want to explore, we've spoken about Open Look, we've spoken about your journey, and I just want to, quickly recap that again. But then I want to explore the future of outsourcing, the future of media and your involvement in that, because this whole thing is just evolving so quickly. So first of all, it'd be great if you could just give an intro of yourself.
Absolutely. I'm originally from Southern California in the U.S., and I've moved out to Cebu City in the Philippines back in 2010. That's kind of when I got involved with, at that time, it was simply just an offshoring model, and then over the years have evolved into more of the traditional outsourcing model. Back in 2012, myself and my two business partners decided to form Open Look. We catered to niche publishers, primarily in the U.S. right now, but we are looking to expand beyond, and with a kind of a core focus on the magazine publishing industry.
Fantastic. And you've, just to recap, you've got about 250 staff, which by sort of Western proportions is just an absolute gargantuan kind of company. Huh? It's certainly something to have been proud of to build that in 5 years, basically. Huh?
It is nice looking back, definitely. I can't say that I thought that 250 would come, if you'd asked me 5-6 years ago.
Big number, huh? When you consider, you're supporting those people and their families and managing their parts of their daily lives, it's huge, huh?
A lot of pressure that comes with it, yeah.
Sleepless nights?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just to recap, you are in a bit of a niche area of content production where the market, websites, and because of Google, largely has just been flooded with content, a lot of it sort mm-hmm. of low value stuff. But you have a niche within there, which is more sort of print media, but magazine-y, visual-based media. Higher value contribution, of course, and you're finding a very healthy niche in there. Where do you see the future of content going? I suppose in your time that you've been working in it, where has it come from, and where do you see the trajectory from here?
That's a great question. Content is the king, and the higher quality content you can get, the more evergreen type of content that really doesn't have a timetable on it is great. And then the various ways you can deliver that content is the name of the game right now. The more outlets you can get it out to, and the more audiences you can reach, and as well as if you can keep it targeted as well. So there's kind of, I think there's two plays at the content side, and it's either the quantity side and you're just trying to get out in the masses, or the quality side, meaning you're really trying to cater to a specific audience, which is a lot of the clientele that we work with are really targeted in that sense. So kind of some of the evolution, as well as you're seeing the data aspect come into it, and more identifying these people that are you're either writing about or you're writing for, you know, and the audiences you're catering to. So,
And you're kind of, I suppose, to summarize, it's kind of a magazine layout. So there's images, and it's kind of rich in layout. Mm-hmm. How are people consuming that? Is it mostly kind of PDF through their email, or what is the general consumption?
You're seeing kind of, I guess you could say, three types of ways of the, you know, the traditional printed still is still really relevant. And then from the digital aspect, you are seeing two types of ways. There's a ton of providers out there that kind of recreate that traditional magazine in a digital format. So, I mean, you have the ability to turn your pages and everything, and, you know, you'd think you were looking at a traditional magazine. And then you have more of the PDF type of model, which is a little more static, I would say. The prior one I was speaking about is a little more interactive. So, you're seeing things with videos incorporated into this digital now. And it's really interesting to see what they can do, you know. And in some cases, it's the same thing as the printed version. But then once you get it online, there's this whole new dynamic to the same type of content that incorporates videos and audios and just different really interesting things.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because you're almost seeing a divergence in a lot of the email marketing now is actually going quite almost backward in terms of richness, and it's going back to basic text-based emails, you know, and just sort of getting the message across, but then also with a lot more sort of interactivity in the sort of higher end stuff. It's kind of diverging, isn't it? Do you see a future where you will get, I've heard of people commenting where you really need a lot more interactivity within emails, you know, so you could open an email and it could even be like a shop front or interaction within an email interface. Do you have any kind of foresight into the way that the industry's evolving?
I can't say. I think that's, I kind of tell people that's kind of the million-dollar question, in my opinion, right now of, I don't think anybody's truly been able to really nail it. I mean, of course, outside of the big ones you were mentioning, Google and things of that sort. Now, I mean, those guys have just captured the market, but more to the SME side of things, I don't think anybody's truly mastered it yet. So I can't say that I see, you know, you've got some believers that think the most interactive you can make an email, the better off you're going to be. And then you touched on it as well, where you're getting some guys that are just more text, you know, text heavy, and it's just it comes across as a traditional email. So it's something I'm interested in to see where it goes.
Yeah, it's difficult, and also there's all the different, there's kind of chatbots and messaging, and it's just becoming so fractured, isn't it? I think as well, like, there needs to also be like an aggregator of messaging and systems and also your daily news and things like that. It's kind of a fascinating journey, really, isn't it? Does anyone read anymore, do you think, Kevin? Like there's so much content out there, but also people's attention spans. I lost my attention there. Also people's attention spans are kind of shortening as well. Do you find that everything has to be in bite-sized pieces now? Is the kind of the nature of content evolving?
Yeah, that's a great question. Absolutely. I think, you know, again, it goes back to that quantity, quality type of thing. You know, the more you can get it out and the more different mediums or diverse mediums, I guess you could say, the better chances you are going to get people to read it. Or you get very relevant content to specific people. But it's definitely a challenge for these publishers and content providers and things like that to keep the attention of their audiences the way that they used to in the past, you know, where there wasn't as many options for people to consume content and information. And it is the catchier you can be. And I think that's some of the challenge is I don't think you can, if you want to be all inclusive, it's tough to kind of sway one way or the other. So where do you draw that line, you know? And I think that's some of the challenges today.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? And I've sort of been listening to podcasts about book publishers, and they're saying now their methodology is to actually have kind of chapters that are about 1,000 words long, because that's about the attention span and it's about the length of a blog article, and that's what people are now used to. So you're sort of getting books with 30 chapters of 1,000 words each, because otherwise you just kind of lose people. It's crazy, huh?
Makes sense.
And then, talking, that's the kind of media and marketing world. Talking in terms of outsourcing, which you guys were pretty much, certainly when you came over here in 2011 for the SME kind of space, very much early adopters. Where do you see outsourcing going for your industry? But just kind of, you come from California, where do you see outsourcing going in terms of getting stuff done generally?
Man, I think the opportunities are endless nowadays with technology and the ability to communicate freely, in different ways. So I think there's a ton of opportunities out there for SMEs, no doubt. When I first got here, you saw kind of there was really two major functions, and you kind of had that customer service approach where it was people, typically handling the traditional 1-800 phone lines and providing support to customer bases, or the really high volume, high pressure telemarketing where you're trying to sell cable TV, for example. And now it's just there's so many unique companies out there that are offering all kinds of different things, from just a general virtual assistant that's helping, executives plan their days and keep their schedules straight, to social media marketing, to magazine publishers. I mean, it's the range is so broad now, and I think it's just going to continue to grow because it's so much easier to connect the world now. There's so many options, so.
I think as technology comes in, the kind of friction of hiring someone in the Philippines versus your hometown is just getting less and less. And I have a kind of mini theory that outsourcing eventually will just be called employment, because it's just, you're just going to hire people, and where they're sitting is not really relevant anymore.
Yeah, you're seeing that. I mean, even from the traditional ways, the telecommuting, and even in the US, I know some friends and things that have, requirements. They need to be in the office 2 days a week, and the rest they're working from home, and their employer knows every minute of every day what they're doing on those days that they're working from home as well, So, I mean, there's a ton of opportunity, I think, out there, and I think we're just kind of on our side as the providers, we're kind of just scratching the surface, and then as the SME side of things, they're just really embracing. The big corporations, the big companies have been doing this stuff for many years now. I think the average business owner may not have thought that it was possible for them. It was only for the big corporations. There was nothing that catered to them, and you're seeing much more tension in that area, I think.
Yeah, it's fascinating you say that, because I mean that's one of our biggest arguments, that the big guys have been outsourcing for 20 years and they're all already outsourcing, so there's no growth in that area, but there's all the SMEs. And we did a white paper, and there's 35 million SMEs in the West that employ 100 million people, and I reckon virtually none of them are outsourcing, maybe 1%, 0.5%, and there's opportunity for every single one of those companies to outsource, even a part of a role or whole departments. So huge potential.
That was kind of the one of observation, in addition to the specific industry we started catering to, but you're thinking, okay, there's all these major financial institutions and these huge companies that are embracing this model. Could we do it for others also? Kind of if it works for them, why wouldn't it work for others type of things.
And you've really got a good position, I think, because I know a lot of BPO owners and people in the space, and it's highly commoditized, really. You're almost just a kind of landlord renting out space, because there's not a lot to differentiate. Whereas you're a product. You have value add. You have, you're offering value to the process, really, aren't you? As opposed to just sort of managing people.
Correct. Yeah, it's more than a function, definitely with us. A lot of our clients can attach real revenue to our output on their end. So it is a value add for us as a company, definitely.
Fascinating. And then just finally, there's a lot of talk about automation and AI, sort of destroying outsourcing. What are your thoughts on that?
I wondered if this question would come up.
Wow, you know, it's obligatory. Everyone's talking about it at the moment, yeah.
It is, you know, and it's definitely something that you kind of have to pay attention to. In my position as an owner, where, you know, virtually our product is manpower. Now our manpower, you know, produces results for people. So the automation obviously is coming in to eliminate that. I'm a little bit of an old dog. It's funny because I'm in a very tech-driven industry, but I still love a pen and paper, you know? So I think it's many years away because I think, you know, for my generation, there's kind of the changing of the guard where the baby boomers and things aren't as may not be as accepting to the technology. There's still a few people within, you know, my generation that is hasn't fully brought on. So it's out there, I think. I think we're still quite a ways away from really nailing it down. I think the people, there's still an audience out there that appreciates excuse me, that human touch and still dealing with a human. So I think you still got to give credit to that, but it's definitely something that I'm watching from afar as a business owner myself and kind of seeing. I could be very wrong, you know, and this could speed up and it could solve a lot of things. So, and it's case by case as well. There's some industries where I think it's much more relevant in and it could be achievable at a quicker rate and makes more sense. And there's other, you know, industries and uses that it may not make as much sense. So to
Yeah,
say I get
fascinating.
asked all the time, you know, I have friends and other business owners and man, are you looking to get out because of this AI stuff? And you know, I don't think it's going to be anything that's just going to be mass elimination of this industry by any means. I mean, it's a huge thriving industry that's just diverse now as well. You know, it's not just a one service, you know, industry anymore or a minimal service industry. There's so many things that can be done and still require that human touch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny how it has really sort of shaken the industry, hasn't it? And I think, as you say, it could be decades off before there's actually functional AI assistance. But also, I think that there's, you know, to a point earlier, there's more resilience in the SME market because SMEs need more agile, versatile roles, functions, staff. Whereas if you're in the big end of town where there's 1,000 people doing the same process, you know, that's in line for kind of automation and refinement, isn't it? But
Exactly. Yeah.
yeah, I think you've still got your job and company for a few more years yet, I think, Kevin.
I hope so.
Happy days. Thank you so
There's
much,
some
Kevin.
smart
And
people out there, though. Who knows?
say again.
I was just saying there's some smart people out there, so who knows? They may speed it up.
That's true, huh? Yeah, things are progressing at an incredible speed. But Kevin, thank you so much for your time and insights. It's been amazing talking to you. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
You can always check us out online at our website, which is open-look.com, or you can reach out to me directly at kevin@open-look.com.
Fantastic. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Derek.
Okay, that was Kevin Thompson of Open Look. I really appreciate his time and I certainly learned a lot there. If you want to get in touch with Kevin or know any more, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/130. And if you want to ask us anything, then of course just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.